At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I'm Dale Luganville. On today's episode, down here in the northeast part of Arkansas, taking part in the Spring Conservation Light Goose Order, the Spring Snows, and I sit down with guide Hunter Johnson from Hunter's Paradise. He has a nice little lodge down here. I've actually been spending the last couple nights in it. It's pretty cool. It's actually very cool. It's very nice. Got all the creature comforts of home. I even whipped up some snow goose tacos for some of his clients that he had staying here, and they were very impressed. I love watching their face change when they're like, you eat those things? And, you know, people that just don't know how to cook wild game, basically, but snow geese get a bad rap in general, and it shouldn't because snow geese are great. They're very good table fare. Just got to know what to do, and it's not even tricky. I'm not talking deep. Marinades and all sort of like fancy culinary tips. No, you just don't overcook it. That's my best tip. Just don't overcook it. Anyways, I digress. Hunter Johnson's from Hunter's Paradise. He is a quick one. He had a lot of stuff to do, and I'm actually packed up, ready to head north into Missouri. So we both only had a limited amount of time, but I appreciate him sitting down with us and having a quick talk. So without further ado, God, I hate when I say that, but let's get into it. This is the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast with Hunter Johnson.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one. Got Hunter Jr. I see. Are you Junior?
No, I'm.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not Junior.
Do people call you Junior? That's what I got from Dean.
No, he
says Hunter Junior Johnson.
Now Dean just calls me Junior.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is he the only person that calls you Junior?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try not to call you Junior.
Oh, you're
although it's
good.
Kind of funny.
Yes, sir.
Hunter Johnson. You know what I've never figured out is that, like, what's the name of your company?
Hunter's Paradise.
Hunter's Paradise.
Right.
Oh, look at that play on word. You know, Hunter is a pretty cool name for a guide and outfitter. I mean, it's a natural name.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to fit, right? But still not as cool as Goose, as a champion goose caller. So
right.
Shout out to my boy, David Goose, with Goose Brand. It's just launched here a little bit ago. Been meaning to give him a shout for a while, so that fit good. Yeah, the dude's name is, his last name is literally Goose, and
that's
he's a champion
cool.
goose caller.
That's pretty cool.
Or I should say a competition goose caller. That is pretty wicked. How long have you been doing it?
I've grown up around it for 20 plus years now. My dad started it in 1999, and when I graduated high school, I kind of took over the guiding part of it. So.
Oh, okay. So it's and you're just right here in Arkansas, right?
Yeah,
you're
just
not,
right here.
You're not one of us Northerners that invade your state.
No, I stay right here local.
Damn out of state outfitters wrecking everything. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you know that's. You guys do fall stuff, I assume, duck hunts?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of duck hunts. That's my main thing is doing a lot of duck hunts. So
Fields
yeah,
are
field,
all these fields,
yeah.
These rice paddies out here?
Yeah, I don't have any timber, unfortunately.
How did you guys do this last year? From what I've been hearing, people are, like, complaining there wasn't as many ducks.
No, there wasn't a wasn't as many as normal, but I had one pit that we killed a little over 800 out of, so it was pretty good.
I'd say 800 birds is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was mostly mallards or
you know,
mix
of everything. Seen a lot of pintails this year, you know. So.
Tons of pintails out there right now coming through. Like,
oh yeah,
right now is like crazy amount of pintails migrating through.
They lowered the limit, so I'm sure that helped a lot. It's
yeah.
only one per person now.
Yeah, well, it's only two. I mean, you're not good. There's been so many reports that say hunter harvest is pretty negligible on the overall population of ducks. So
right.
I mean, it's not going to hurt. I mean, it's one, you know, one more live duck.
Right.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's going to have some impact, but just not that much. But I don't know. That'd be cool. I haven't shot a Jerry Pintail. When's the season down here in the fall?
It normally comes in around the end of November, and it lasts until the end of January.
Oh, so by the end of January, you can get a good-looking sprig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Minnesota, it sucks. You can't – you'll never shoot. Just don't shoot that many pintails in general. If you do, they're almost always hens for some reason.
Right.
But if you do shoot a drake, you're not getting a sprig on that thing.
Yeah, I actually killed a bucket list this year. It was a band of drake pintails.
Get out.
Yeah. So
no
that's
way.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That'd be so badass. I noticed that mount has a band on it. That's not the one. That's too dusty to be the one you shot this year.
Yeah, no, that's not the one.
Is
My
it at the taxidermist?
Yeah, it's at the taxidermist right now. Oh, so.
Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Was that one banded, too?
That one actually wasn't. Our taxidermist just
put one on there?
Okay. For advertisement.
Oh, okay.
So when you read it, it says his name and his number on it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, I was wondering if, because most of the birds in here are banded that you have mounted. So I'm like, are they really, or were they just added there? So that's still kind of cool, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's what we all dream about as waterfowl hunters anyway. So you're sitting here in the
it's
lodge.
It's like shooting 180-inch deer, you know,
in
waterfowl.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Waterfowl.
This is a pretty cool little lodge you got here. Does this thing have a name, or is it just the lodge?
It's just, you know, just the lodge.
Just where people stay, just the lodge.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Was this a ground-up building, or did you convert
this
an old
is actually,
house?
Old house. This is actually my house where I grew up at.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that is
cool. My parents built it when I was a year old, and this is where we lived till I was about 16 or 17.
How old are you now?
I'm 23.
Oh, you're just a baby.
Yeah.
You got a lot of years left to do this. That's pretty cool. I'd say that's a dream life for a lot of people that work a regular 9-to-5. And do you do anything else, or is this it?
I do pest control in the summertime.
Oh, okay.
I work for a family friend doing that.
God, you're just a killer.
I kill bugs in the
money,
summertime.
Just make money just killing things.
Yeah.
You're just a murderer.
Yeah, for sure. I kill stuff year-round.
Murderer. So. PETA, public enemy number one over here. What's the big bugs down here? Is it roaches?
We
is that
got
the big
a lot
thing?
Of, a lot of roaches, bed bugs.
Really?
Termites.
I need to go check myself out.
No, you're probably right. Good.
I suppose termites. I forget about that. We don't really get termites in Minnesota.
Right.
We do have some roaches, though.
Our main thing is termites and bed bugs. That's a
so how do the bed bugs get spread around?
They come from Europe, you know, and my boss, he hadn't heard of the first case of them until about 8 years ago. He thought it was always just a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's a legit thing.
Like, how do they spread from, like, house to house? Like, are they in people's clothing or something?
You know, you can go over and sit on somebody's couch and get one on you, and when you take it home, it can lay eggs, and that's how it starts.
God damn. Yeah. I'm nervous now. I don't want
you can get them on a cruise ship. You know, I've treated multi-million-dollar homes before for them. I mean, you can get them anywhere.
Oh, man, that would suck.
A lot of hotels.
Like, what is it? I mean, you just wake up with, like, bug bites on you from sleeping, or is that what it is?
Yeah, they actually, they feed on humans is what they do.
Yeah, I knew that.
They're wanting your blood, and they can actually live up to 18 months
without
ever
feeding?
Even feeding, yeah.
Just
so.
Sitting and waiting.
Yeah.
God, bless America. All right, well, I didn't mean this to turn this into a bug hunt. I don't know, it's weird. It's not an issue, as far as I know, in Minnesota. I've never heard of it.
Right. Well, I had never heard of it till I started doing pest control, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I didn't know it was a legit thing, but there's a big problem with them.
Do you do any, is there any other kind of critter removal? Like people get raccoons in their
barn?
Oh, yeah. You got to do stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. We
skunks
get,
and snakes? Do you snakes?
I'm not a big snake guy. I don't like snakes very much.
I like snakes. Snakes are cool.
We don't do a whole lot of snake removal. So
okay.
Just normal pest.
It's a long drive, but if you need a guy, I ain't afraid. I love snakes, dude. I have a compulsion. If I see a snake, I have to go catch it.
Right.
Which, thankfully, I live in Minnesota, and we don't have – well, we have rattlesnakes in the southeast part of the state, but other than that, I don't have to worry about it too much. But
our big thing's copperheads and cottonmouths down
here. Yeah, with the pits out here, is that a problem?
Oh, yeah. You know, when you go to clean them out.
Is there always snakes
there? There'll be snakes. There'll be turtles. You know, you might catch a raccoon or a possum every now and then swimming around in there. I've seen a deer in one, you know.
Oh,
we went
shit.
To clean one out, and a deer, it was still alive, you know.
Just
I guess
got
it
stuck
just
in
got
there.
Stuck in there here.
How'd you get him out?
I just kind of helped him out, and he took off. He was a little doe.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't nothing big, so.
I'd be more afraid of that than I would a snake.
Right.
That thing would kick your ass.
Yeah.
I mean, not meaning to, but just, you know, they panic, and they got – those hooves are sharp, dude. Those things flying around. Would not want to get caught by one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I grew up around deer my whole life. My grandpa right here next door, he raised 30 deer. We had this whole yard here was a deer pen.
Oh, wow.
And he raised deer, you know, so.
For, like, what purpose?
Just for fun.
Oh, just because he liked to raise deer? Did he sell them to, like, Texas or anything?
No, he just. No?
Wasn't trying to raise big horns? He just, like,
oh,
have
yeah,
them
he grew
out?
Some
oh, okay.
big ones. He,
right.
he grew a couple, you know, 170-inch deer, which Whew. That's big for, you know.
Anywhere?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
170 inch is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, 200 is ridiculous, but 170 is a nice, that's beyond nice. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I had like, never killed
anybody. Almost anybody would not hesitate to shoot, like, a 140.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's
my biggest.
You'd be happy as pigs and shit to get a 140. So then, you know, add 30, 40 more inches to that. Good night.
Yeah.
That's a big deer.
It takes a lot of horns to get to 170.
Yes, it does. It's probably not going to be an 8-point. It's going to need a couple extra tines thrown in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you deer hunt much in the fall, or are you too busy guiding duck hunting?
I do a little bit of deer hunting, you know. I try to do a lot more, but it's kind of hard when you're guiding duck hunts and stuff.
When is the season? Do you bow hunt?
Our bow season comes in, I want to say the end of September, first October.
Okay, so that's not getting in the way of any
hunting.
And
it goes until February 28th. But
holy crap, that's
a long season. We get 5 days for gun hunt.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I don't even gun hunt. It's kind of the same thing. Well, I guess we get a little bit more. In Minnesota, the bull season opens the middle of September and goes to the end of the year. And then we have like basically a two-week gun season. It's a little shorter in some zones and a little longer in other zones.
Well,
but
for the
most part, it's 2 weeks.
We get 2 days in November and 3 days in December, and that's it.
That's
on a gun in this zone, you know. So.
Yeah.
And
can you use rifles?
Nope.
Just shotguns?
Use a slug. That's about it.
Yeah.
Can't even use buckshot.
We're going – Minnesota is just proposing to change because we have a slug zone too, and they're just now proposing to get rid of the slug zone. And, of course, everybody's all up in arms about it. And it's like any debate on Facebook. It devolves into name-calling pretty quickly. But I actually learned something. The reason I thought you couldn't use rifles in the southern part of the state because it's flat like this. It's just all agriculture. And I've always been told it's, you know, so people don't get accidentally shot and the rifle changes. Goes a long way. Apparently, the original reason why they set up a shotgun zone was to make hunting harder because deer populations weren't that great back then. So as a way to keep harvest down, they limited it. So, you know, you got almost like, you know, slightly better than bow hunting. Like you got to basically keep it to under 100 yards. It had nothing to do with public safety or errant bullets flying around. And the reason they're thinking about changing it is because, A, the advancements to shotguns and slug technology and scopes and everything else has extended that range anyways. You can still use rifles in that same zone for coyotes. So obviously the public hunting safety factor doesn't really hold up. I mean, two things. One, if you're hunting coyotes, you're on the ground. So now you are shooting more flat trajectory. If you're deer hunting, you're in a box stand shooting down at the ground. So even if you do miss, it's going to hit the dirt. You know, so that argument is just kind of bullshit. But people, man, do they cling to it? They're just like, we don't need bullets flying around everywhere. I'm like, A, it's not going to happen. B, that's not why it's a shotgun zone in the first damn place.
Right.
Yeah. And I think in the article I read, they talked about even like the pistols, the modern long, I mean, it's a pistol, but they have these long hunting barrels on it.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Those bullets can go 200 yards, you know, like that has nothing to do with it. It's effective range is why that shotgun zone. So I don't know if it was the same down here why you guys have a shotgun zone or not. But
yeah, we our deer population, like when my grandpa was a kid, if they seen a deer, it was rare in this area. There wasn't a whole lot of deer. And they actually brought deer in back, I'm not for sure the time frame, but back in the day, you know, and stalked this area.
Mm.
Well, they opened up a rifle season after a couple of years after letting the population. Well, it almost wiped them out again.
Yeah,
so
it is. So
right,
it
yeah.
just beefs up that argument. That has nothing
right.
to do with public safety. It's
right.
just making the harvest harder so it,
right.
yeah, so you can't just snipe off. Make a 1,000-yard shot because these fields down here, like this is my first year in Arkansas, dude, and it's a lot of wide open country, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's not many trees.
Yeah, you kill a coyote at 500 yards.
Yeah,
down here,
yeah, know? It's crazy. Like it's yeah, I can see that, and it's not like even some western states or southwest Minnesota, we have like you get some like rolling prairies and stuff like that where there can be a deer out in the middle of it hiding in the grass. Not only, there is nothing from this is all like half these fields are flooded all the time. There's drainage ditches everywhere. It's like.
Right.
They're not going to hang out in that shit. Mm-mm, they're going to be in the three trees you guys have.
Yeah.
yeah. In this state. Is there a lot of coyote hunting down,
oh,
goes
yeah.
on down here?
Yeah, there's a lot of coyotes.
I've seen
here.
Two coyotes.
There is.
Since I've been down
there's
here.
There's a ton of coyotes. So, yeah, it's they actually just changed it to where if you own private land, you can get a permit now to exterminate the coyotes at nighttime on your property.
You can't hunt them at
but
night normally?
You can't hunt them normal here at night.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I thought you could night hunt varmints anywhere.
I wish, but no, you can't. Hey,
well, you can now.
Yeah.
Get into it. Put
yeah.
that Fox Pro out there, set the, get the red light scope cooking, and get some thermal scopes and have at her.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That'd be sweet. I bet you got a lot of coon, too, though.
Oh, man, we got coons, possums, armadillos.
Armadillos?
Yeah.
I suppose, I don't know. Do they hibernate? No, they run around in the winter,
no,
don't
they? Yeah, you'll see them
every usually you see them things dead on the road everywhere. When
oh,
you,
yeah.
Once you get into armadillo country, that's like, they're like rumble strips. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any since I've been down here, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, especially in the summertime. You'll see a whole lot of them.
My brain's just kind of going everywhere. Do you have a teal season here?
Yeah, we do. We have early teal season. Really don't do much of it. Maybe if you find a little pond that they're on or something, but most of the time the rice fields aren't harvested yet, so there's not a whole lot
that
of that
makes
that goes
sense.
On, yeah.
When does the rice usually come out?
They usually start harvest, you know, October. End of September, 1st of October.
Is it kind of a relatively slow-growing crop? Like, when do they plant them? Like, here
yeah.
pretty quick, or?
Yeah, you know, planting season can start anywhere from March to July, you know.
So it's not much different than corn, really.
Right,
like
yeah.
The same. I don't know, for some reason I thought rice was like a
you know, there,
like
there'll
quick,
be some farmers
crop
that, right.
kind of a thing.
There'll be some farmers try to plant, you know, end of March, but. You're taking a risk there because
yeah, you get
our
a
winter,
late frost
our winters are a lot longer now, you know, and I've seen it snow end of March. So if it snows or gets cold, it's going to kill that seed before it can even.
Yeah, I could see that so, being a problem.
Yeah.
I'll be running the same thing in Minnesota. People try to get their crops in really early, you know, and then shit, you can get a late May. You can still get a hard frost in Minnesota. So
oh, yeah.
you're definitely not out of the woods.
Right, which a lot of them did around here just to say they got their crop in early. You know,
sure.
get the fame for that so
for whatever fame that gets you
right
that's just ridiculous. One thing I noticed down here is you don't really have many honkers. There's not
no.
many Canadas down
we
here.
Don't we don't get a lot of them, not at all.
I kind of expected because when I've done snow goose hunting in the Dakotas, you see a bunch of cacklers, you know, and
right.
even and big honkers too. I haven't seen a one.
No, there's not any besides, you know, the local ones up in town or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I haven't even seen those. I mean, I haven't seen a honker. I don't
you know,
think
they,
I've seen a honker in the state.
They say that a few honkers used to migrate through here back in the 90s, but kind of faded away. So
that's weird. So from talking to Shelby from Goose Reapers, because they do a bunch of – they do little geese hunts. They do cackler hunts, but he's over there in the Texas Panhandle.
Right.
Or Oklahoma, you know. So I guess as they come down the – cacklers take a hard right, and the snows and specks take a hard left.
Right.
Because there ain't no shortage of specks here. Do you get specks in the regular season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get a early speck season, you know, end of October.
Really?
Yeah, we get – this year they gave us 5 days, and that's pretty good.
Man.
It's,
well, we got to shoot specks last year in North Dakota, which is rare. I mean, sometimes you hear somebody getting lucky and shooting one, but for the most part, when they migrate and they leave Canada, they'd shoot straight past all those northern states until they get down here, basically. So it's not usually a thing, but we had a super early, heavy snowstorm that hit the Dakotas last mid-October. It was like a foot and a half of snow, like a shit ton of snow. And I think that stalled out that migration. We already had our trip planned, you know, before any of this happened. But when we went out there, you know, we brought the white spread. We're basically going for snow geese. And you'll always shoot your darks anyways, just because everything decoys to a white spread, ducks and geese included. And when we saw a bunch of snows and we got out to kind of scout, like, we step out and everybody just looks at each other with a shitty and grin because we could hear specks everywhere. We're like, oh, shit. We're going to shoot some specks. And we did. We got into them good the next 3 days. That was fun.
That's awesome.
For not ever shooting one to, like, basically limiting out for 3 days straight,
right.
Was
yeah, they're pretty fun to shoot.
Well, they decoy so good. It was really nice to know that they act the same way in the fall as they do in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Because
they irritate the shit out of you in the spring when you can't shoot them. It's like you see wave after wave of snow geese just flipping you off, and then all of a sudden here comes these locked in. You're like, what are these? Well, they're specs. Are they decoying? Then they're specs. That's what I tell the clients. I'm like, right. You know what the biggest difference? You know how to ID a spec from a snow goose? They're like, how? Is it decoying? Yeah, it's probably not. That's probably a spec.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We had a really good weekend, one weekend this year during our regular season, and I had 9 clients, and both days, Saturday and Sunday, we killed a 9-man limit. By 8 o'clock.
So. What's the limit? Is it 3?
It's 3. Yeah. Yeah.
God,
yeah, dude. But it's
that's
fun,
dude.
Oh yeah.
God, that's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had one big spin of them. You know, probably I don't know 500 to 1,000. You know, just do it right. And
so I think they. I was gonna say I think they decoy better than hawkers, but I think it just seems like it because they're bigger flocks.
Right.
You know, like back when we're hunting hawkers, a lot of times you'll get 8 of them. You know, a little family group that'll come in, and they decoy pretty good. You know, they
right.
fly low. They're not like snows. They're not flying a mile high. But I guess the specs do the same thing. But it's like generally if you see one spec, you see 30 of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not, I mean, and obviously you get your singles and doubles from time to time, but for really you see these bigger flocks of them. They kind of.
Oh, yeah, and normally with those, they're either going to one pass and come in or they're coming all the way, you know.
Yeah.
There's no.
No, they don't. They don't dick around like the snow geese do.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. We almost got into a good one yesterday morning. Good snow goose fin. I was like, almost happened. We did shoot into them, but I swear I saw 2 drop. I mean, the first one, I pulled the trigger on. I saw him drop, wings folded. And I was like, so I gave up. I didn't even mark him. I just went to the next. When it came time to actually get up and go get him, there wasn't a single one in the field. And then the clients were like, no, they started flapping and they flew away. I was like, what? No. They're like, yeah. I'm like, how did? I don't know. It was frustrating, but did good time.
Yeah.
Apparently, we got a second or a third guest.
Yeah. Yeah. She's pretty mad right now.
Yeah.
I think she's in the kennel, but.
Well, you got stuff to do today, so I just wanted to get a quick one out of the book.
Man.
So give everybody how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah. My name's Hunter Johnson. I own Hunter's Paradise, and. You know, if y'all want to come down and shoot some specks or ducks or, you know, some snows, just give me a call at 870-897-9377 or look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Hunter's Paradise Guide Service.
Do you have a website or you just do social media?
I just do social media right now, so
all
right. Working on getting a website up.
So. Cool. Do it up. All right. Well, I appreciate you letting me squat here in your lodge.
Yeah, man.
I've had
problem.
The whole place to myself.
Yeah. Anytime.
Just been running around naked the whole time. No, that's not true. But I never know when someone's going to walk through that door. But no, it's been pretty fun. Your dog needs you. And I need to get on the road too. So
yeah.
Appreciate it, Hunter.
Yeah,
we'll talk again sometime here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You bet.